Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello everyone, before we start talking about Star Wars, let me mention the sponsor for this episode, and today that is Spoken. Spoken is an online service that can help you to develop your business English on your mobile phone. Spoken are offering all of my listeners 2 free lessons and then 20% off all of their courses. Go to getspoken.com/LEP and then sign up for your free lessons. An English teacher from Spoken will then send tasks, texts, audio and video to your mobile phone through WhatsApp Messenger. You complete the tasks using the keyboard or microphone, and then your teacher will send you more exercises adapted to your needs. It's like having an English teacher in your pocket. Lessons take about 30 minutes, and you can choose when to practice, how long to practice for, so it's flexible, adaptive, and convenient. Go to getspoken.com/LEP or click a Spoken logo on my website to get your free lessons, 2 free lessons, and then 20% off all of their courses. Okay, right then. So let's now talk about Star Wars, and here we go. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello there. How are you?
What? Really? No. I don't believe it. Oh, it's just a joke.
Oh, well, that's fine. You and your jokes. You're very funny. In this episode of the podcast, you're going to hear me talking to my brother, James, about the latest Star Wars film, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, which was released in cinemas just over a month ago. So here it is, more stuff about Star Wars. Yay! There will be spoilers in this episode. There will be spoilers. So there you go. You have been warned. If you haven't seen the film yet, watch out. You might want to wait and watch the film, then come back to this episode. I've had a few comments and messages from listeners expressing their interest in hearing us talk about this film. So here it is. What have the critics been saying about Rogue One? Well, the film has received generally good reviews. Rotten Tomatoes gives the film an 85% rating, which basically means that the majority of critics liked it. The critical summary of this film, Rogue One, on Rotten Tomatoes goes like this. The website says, Rogue One draws deep on Star Wars mythology while breaking new narrative and aesthetic ground, and suggesting a bright blockbuster future for the franchise. Okay, that's what Rotten Tomatoes said. Rogue One draws deep on Star Wars mythology. That basically means that Rogue One sort of includes many different references to the Star Wars universe while breaking new narrative and aesthetic ground. Breaking new grounds, that means kind of doing new things, exploring new areas that haven't been explored in a Star Wars film before. And the whole thing suggests a bright blockbuster future for the franchise. So basically it suggests that the whole Star Wars franchise is likely to be a successful one in the future. In fact, plans are, I think, for a new Star Wars film to be released sort of every year for the rest of time. So that was the critical consensus from Rotten Tomatoes. There has been some criticism, of course, with some people suggesting the film is just recycling old ideas and that it doesn't have enough character development, and it's basically just a cynical way for Disney to squeeze more money out of the massive cash cow that is the Star Wars universe. For example, Amy Nicholson of MTV, in her review, suggested that it's just a big exercise in nostalgia and that it doesn't really break new ground at all. Amy Nicholson said, audiences once packed theatres to gawk at the future. Oh, look at the future. Look how bright it is. Now, they go into the cinema to soak in the past. Oh, nice past bath. Oh, so warming. The emphasis is placed on packing in as much nostalgia as possible and then tersely editing it together to resemble a film. That's a sort of a slightly paraphrased version of what Amy Nicholson from MTV said, that audiences used to go to see Star Wars films in order to be amazed by the future, and now they go to see Star Wars in order to soak in the past. The emphasis is on packing in as much nostalgia as possible and then just trying to edit it together to resemble a film. So this one is for the fans, I think. I mean the movie and this podcast episode. Because Rogue One was arguably made to please the fans of the whole franchise. And similarly, this episode of the podcast is for the Star Wars fans too. If you're not a Star Wars fan, then I hope that we manage to get across to you what we find appealing about the Star Wars universe, while also dissecting the film as a piece of entertainment in itself. Our conversation is quite rambling, and we end up talking about quite a lot of other things along the way. So it's not just all about Star Wars. We do make reference to a number of other things, including World War II movies, the moral ambiguity of war, the actions of Winston Churchill during World War II, Sherlock Holmes, Carrie Fisher, and some other films, including one called Ah. That's actually the name of a film. Ah. That's A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-H, exclamation mark. Ah. That's a film that James has seen. I haven't seen it, and every time I see him, he's always going on about this film. He's like, have you seen that film? Ah, I'm like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, no, that's the name of the film. Ah, right, I see. So anyway, he talks about Ah a little bit, which sounds pretty funny. And we also talk about Trainspotting 2, the sequel to that film with Ewan McGregor in it, which was, you know, a big hit in the 90s, directed by Danny Boyle. Trainspotting 2 is coming out this year, so we talk about that a little bit as well. We also make reference to The French Connection 2 and a couple of films by a director called Jim Jarmusch, who makes these slightly obscure films, kind of arty obscure films. And we talk about one of his films called Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai, which stars Forrest Whitaker. The actor in that film is Forrest Whitaker, who also stars in Rogue One. And also, we talk about Jim Jarmusch's documentary film about Iggy Pop and the Stooges, which is called Gimme Danger. Also, we make up a couple of possible Star Wars crossover films. Like, imagine if we had Star Wars crossing over with another movie franchise, and what would that look like? So we kind of end up talking about that idea, including a Han Solo film starring Indiana Jones, set in the Star Wars universe, and an Obi-Wan Kenobi film set in Scotland, starring Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi, in which Obi-Wan has become a heroin addict living in Edinburgh, just like in Trainspotting. So some sort of Obi-Wan Kenobi Trainspotting crossover type thing. Let me just say again, spoiler alert, there will be major spoilers in this episode. We're going to give away plot points for Rogue One and for the Star Wars universe in general. So if you haven't seen the films yet, then you might want to wait and then come back to this episode later. Plot summary. Okay, do I need to do a plot summary? I don't really need to summarise the plot. If you've seen the film, you know what's going on. If you haven't seen the film, you might want to wait and then come back to this later, as I've said three times now. I'm not going to read through a plot summary. Instead, I'm just going to stop doing this introduction now and just let you listen to the conversation. How about that? Yes! That's a huge audience of people going, yes, we agree. As ever, I'm interested in reading your comments. What did you think of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story? Did you think it was wonderful and romp through the Star Wars universe, or a tiresome retreading of things that we've already seen before? Which one did you think? Well, I look forward to reading your comments. You can now listen to James and me talking about this film, and here we go.
The world is coming undone. Imperial flags reign across the galaxy.
Can you be trusted without your shackles?
Let's just get this over with, shall we?
We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know how to destroy it.
you're really doing this, I want to help.
Good.
Good. I've been recruiting for the rebellion for a long time.
We destroyed our home.
I fight the Empire now.
I fear nothing. All is as the Force wills it.
The captain says you are a friend. I will not kill you.
Thanks. There isn't much time. Every day they grow stronger.
There is a 97.6% chance of failure.
He means well.
This is our chance to make a real difference. Are you with me?
All the way.
Do you want to talk about Star Wars for a bit?
Okay.
You're a Star Wars fan, aren't you? Would you say?
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm not a blind, obsessive fan. I know it's just a film.
Yeah, of course. Do you have a favourite film in the series?
I quite like the original Star Wars A New Hope. Mm-hmm. And I like Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
Not so keen on Return of the Jedi. But
why not?
It's a little bit cheesy in places.
What, because of the Ewoks?
The Ewoks, and it's still good.
I think it's really good. I really like Return of the Jedi. I think there are some good moments.
Okay, I like Return of the Jedi as well.
Right.
I like the new one a lot.
The episode 7?
Yeah. The prequels are crap, though. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
They're
rubbish.
Really bad.
Okay. We did an episode last year about Star Wars The Force Awakens, episode 7.
Yeah, I thought that was good, but I think this is actually even better than you want.
Really? Rogue One, you think is better?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
It's a bit less... It's a bit more grim. It's a bit more like a war film.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit less cheesy. I don't know, I'm not...
Because the other films...
Less gimmicky.
The other films are all about this family saga, aren't they?
It's more of a standalone story.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like they're having to... Shoving loads of reference, like all the old one, the last one where Chewie turned up and Han and all that.
C-3PO and well, they're in it though, aren't they? C-3PO and R2-D2, yeah. They are in it for a second.
But it felt like a bit less like things were being shoehorned into it. It felt like it existed more on its own
right.
basis.
Because one of the criticisms of The Force Awakens, Episode 7, is that it's just recycling every single bit from the original film and maybe the best bits from the other ones. Sticking it all into one sort of best of Star Wars kind of thing, where there are no real original kind of moments in the story. It's just sort of rebooting the franchise kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of.
But this one is doing that less, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Okay, I have got some sort of stuff. I've got some notes and things written down. But why did you like it then? What was it that...
It felt like a old school World War II war movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Dam Busters or A Bridge Too Far.
A Bridge Too Far,
or
yeah.
Or like the Battle of Britain.
The Battle of Britain, The Longest Day. And The Guns of Navarone.
Yeah, The Guns of Navarone. That's the one I was thinking of, actually.
Right. What is it about those films that's kind of similar to this?
Like a sort of ragtag team is put together to do a sort of impossible mission against great odds. And some bit of military hardware that needs to be taken out of the picture.
Right.
And you see the planning of it on, and it's all, you know...
This massive, impossible, sort of powerful weapons system.
Usually something like that. Some key part of the enemy army or force that needs to be taken out in order for something else to happen.
Yes, yeah, and it really is an impossible mission, a sort of an attack on a castle kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 okay. And a plucky band of people.
Of misfits and insurgents, basically.
Right, right.
Kind of some local resistance.
The resistance.
Like local resistance.
Yes.
Like in, you know, Paris in the war and
freedom
stuff like
fighters.
That. No, locals that are pretending to be... you know, under enemy rule, but they're actually secretly planning things with the rebellion.
Like terrorists sort of thing.
Oh, yes. And also like the French resistance in World War II.
Right.
That
right.
kind of thing.
They're kind of living under imperial rule.
Yeah, and secretly planning against the overlords.
Okay. All right then. Yeah, that was...
A lot of that happened in World War II in France, but probably Belgium and all mm-hmm. over the place.
I found there was a part, partly in the film, there was this sense of a moral grey area a little
bit.
Well,
that was definitely something that hasn't been covered before. In the original films, it's just they're princesses and they're goodies and the baddies are baddies. And it's about as complex as it gets.
It's really clear in The Force as well, the good, the light side and the dark side of the Force.
In this one, there's one bit where one of the guys says, "I've done terrible things for the rebellion."
Yeah.
And it makes you realise there is sort of some moral ambiguity going on, like, is it total war, you know, are collateral casualties okay?
There's that bit in the film where they've kind of failed to get acceptance from the rebel high command, and so there's just a gang of them, and they go off to do the mission on their own.
They're kind of discussing whether it's worth carrying on with the war. Yeah. When so much suffering has been carried out already, and it's kind of it's still sort of cartoony, but at least then it's a nod towards moral ambiguity in war and things like
that. Yeah, there's that moment where there's a big gang of them.
Because sometimes watching Star Wars, I think, but all this, it's kind of like the argument some people in Britain thought we shouldn't fight World War II, that it would be more damaging to the world to wage war rather than just live under Nazi rule, basically.
Right.
And some people probably kind of thought that. There was a sort of movement, a very relatively small movement, but still, there is that argument that, you know, should Churchill have done all the things he did do? Churchill, for instance, did some pretty bad things like bombing Dresden and whatever, which is not strictly, well, not in any way a military target.
Yeah.
And a lot of things go on in war that are morally ambiguous or plain wrong, even if you're on the goody side, in inverted commas.
There is that moment, as I was saying, where they're all kind of lined up. There's a group of them who are going to do this mission. And they're kind of, he says, you know, many of these men have done terrible things, you know, and they're all sort of like hardened, beaten up soldiers from the front line who've done nasty things. In fact, one of the main characters, you see him laser a guy.
Yeah, there's two rival rebel groups essentially, and there's one that's saying I can't remember what happens, but they're gonna put something at risk and he has to shoot another
good
rebel,
guy
basically. Well, not good guy, another rebel. Well, they are good guys because the Empire is evil, we all know that.
But there is that sense of this sort of like this, these sort of guerrilla fighters who've been fighting since childhood sort of thing. And it's like the gritty end of the Star Wars universe down on the ground level, whereas when you're following the Skywalker story, that's kind of like in the upper echelons of the Star Wars world, hanging around with Jedis, and it's all about the light side and the dark side. But this is more like, what is it that Han Solo says? You know, the Force is one thing, but it's nothing like a good blaster at your side, kid. You know that line? It's a bit like that, isn't it? You know?
Yes.
It's all about blasters and just gritty fighting.
There's no lightsabers in it, are there?
At the end, there is an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
There's that big moment at the end of the film where there's definitely a lightsaber going on. But no, in this, you get that sort of kung fu guy, you know? I don't remember the name of the character, but there's a guy who uses a stick and he's blind and he does all this kind of martial arts stuff and he's force sensitive. He's feeling a bit force sensitive.
Force sensitive.
Oh, I'm feeling a bit force sensitive today. I don't think I'm going to come to the pub, lads. I'm feeling a bit force sensitive today. He's a bit force sensitive. And there's that whole sort of like double act between him and the dude with the big gun.
Kind of bromance.
A bromance, yeah, that's right. And so what's the story there between those two then?
Who knows?
What's going on? Because
I'm sure there'll be a spin-off film in the future about those two.
You think so? But there's
where they end up huddled together in a mountain sort of cave.
In a tent somewhere.
Freezing, yeah. to get like, close to each other for warmth, like Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain. Maybe. But one of them thinks he's force sensitive and he's blind, and the other one is sort of always looking after him, and the one guy believes in the Force, the other guy doesn't. And the one who believes in the Force is like going out doing these risky things. He thinks it's the Force that's saving him, but actually it's this guy who's got his back.
Or is it?
Or maybe it is the Force, exactly. We don't know.
Such is the mystery of the Force.
That's right. And this kind of, this this thing about the Force exists versus no, it doesn't, is kind of like on a knife edge with those two, isn't it? And is it clear at the end whether he's using the Force? I think he does. Does he ever actually Force grab or move something with the Force?
Can't remember.
I don't think he does.
I saw it weeks ago.
But he sort of senses like the danger of the AT-AT walkers, you know, before they arrive and various things like that.
Okay.
Anyway, it's not clear whether he's got the Force.
But the film's really good because it's also a big spectacle. There's lots going on to look at. And there's lots of amazing, amazing effects,
mm-hmm.
which I'm not really into CGI, but when they're good, you know, they're brilliant. And yeah. Those space battles with all the spaceships flying around yeah. above a kind of palm tree tropical planet
yeah.
is really cool. You know, you yeah. get to just stare at all, especially at the cinema, you get to stare at all this impossible space machinery flying yeah. around. And when they crash into each other, the level of detail of stuff, just like, how the hell are they doing all
and,
this?
And they've done it in...
I mean, I know in theory, but how many people have they got programming these things? Yeah. And can you, like, set something to crash into something else in this 3D modeled world and it automatically know where things are going to break? Or do you have to program each individual little thing,
yeah.
every little bit of machinery breaking off? Is that animated by hand?
Yeah.
Or is it a set program that will... kind of animate those bits as they break
up. It's like
up.
A crashing spaceship program.
If anyone knows,
yeah, how do they,
please
how
tell
the
us.
Hell do they
I
do
mean,
it?
Are they literally animating every single little tiny bit in a collision like that, a crash?
Yeah.
By hand, or how is it exactly done?
Or is
done?
It a program that automatically generates crashing yeah. spaceship effects? Yeah, it's just unbelievable, right?
They must just have thousands and thousands of animators.
And when you think about the original Star Wars, it was literally a model on a black background.
But they've managed to keep that same look somehow. It looks the same when they're in space, because they got that really right in the original films.
Yeah.
It looked real, whereas Buck Rogers or whatever, anything that come before, it never looked real.
Yeah.
But they actually refined it down and put in the work to make those spaceships look
They
real.
Look really good and really simple, and they did look like sort of World War II German fighter jets and stuff. You know, like this squarish kind of pale grey design.
A bit like a Stuka or a Messerschmitt
something like that. There's something of that in there. But the prequel films got that wrong because it was far too rich and smooth.
I mean, in the prequels, they had a ship that was just silver. Shiny silver.
Shiny, smooth
silver.
And it just
didn't look like part of the Star Wars world at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looked cheap and nasty.
Yeah, and the effects were awful. It was like watching a cartoon, the prequel films.
I mean, some of them were quite nasty as well. Some of the stuff with the young Darth Vader getting his arms burnt off and everything, and he's screaming.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, that's not really suitable for kids.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's not very... fun or like exciting.
He tried to make it dark. He tried to make it dark.
And it was quite dark. I thought it was a bit horrible.
Yeah.
And especially when you've got Jar Jar Binks twatting around the place.
Mm.
Anyway, let's not talk about
something wrong with those films. I'm not sure what's the matter with those
films.
Should
delete them.
Yeah, really? Just
delete.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Star Wars universe at some point remakes
them.
Yeah, they might do that. They might be like, we're going to redo
Now that Disney owns Star Wars, you know that the world is going to end before Star Wars does.
Yeah, that's
for real.
Right.
They're never going to end. I mean, society, civilization, capitalism will have to completely collapse before Star Wars finishes.
Right.
And even then, it still won't die. So it's a franchise that's going to go on forever now.
I wouldn't be surprised if Disney do go back through episodes 1, 2, and 3 and redo them and recast them and basically retell the story of Anakin Skywalker. They could do a better job, like the way they did with Batman and stuff. You know, they rebooted it and it made it darker and all that. They could do that with the prequels. They might
do. They probably will.
And there are other solo films that are going to come out.
And there's Lego Star Wars, probably. That's probably going to be a film.
Yeah.
It's going to go on forever.
And they're going to do like a Han Solo.
When are we
going to
have like Star Peaceful Agreement? Star
Treaty.
Star Treaty. Star. Let's all just sit round and discuss this around a table.
Star Compromise.
Yeah, Star.
Star International Space Settlement.
Yeah, I mean, what happened in Northern. Well, that's fallen apart now, hasn't it?
Star Peace Agreement.
Star. Yeah, Northern Ireland Peace Deal.
Star Peace. Yeah, and everyone could just go back home and just.
Well, they just sit around, compromise, raise taxes, raise public spending,
mm-hmm.
and it'd be sort of, you know,
right.
Everyone, I don't know how you'd quite get the empire.
Well,
isn't that what
the empire are trying to do? The empire are trying. They in their mind, they're trying to create peace. in the universe.
Well, yeah, that's what Vader always says along with the Empire. Join with me and we can bring peace to the galaxy.
Right.
So
that's what they're...
What are the conditions of that? We don't exactly know. We just know that bad stuff goes on, and they have vast slave empires and stuff, yeah. Don't they?
Do you think that the...
So they basically want to enslave the galaxy, don't they?
Right, yeah.
So they can make mobile phones in factories.
So they can avoid tax law. Yeah, but do you think...
What does it all mean, eh?
I don't know. But Emperor... Do you think that he thinks he's being evil? Is he like, ha ha, I'm so evil? Or is he going, finally, we're going to have peace and quiet. I'm going to be in complete control and everything's going to be in order. Do you think he's doing it for...
He was probably bullied at school.
Probably, yeah. But anyway, I wonder what his motivations are and what the Empire... they always say that they're trying to bring stability and peace to the universe. So I think they've got this vague sense that they're...
It's under sort of extreme fascism, isn't it?
Yeah, by creating an administrative system, they're somehow keeping everything under control and it's better that way.
But they do literally enslave they put them into mines and...
Yeah, completely.
But how are they going to do that? How are the rebels going to get around that?
How are they going to break down that infrastructure?
Well, how are they going to... What are they going to offer that's better?
Yeah, well, you know...
Anarchy?
No, it's probably like liberal capitalism.
I'm drifting towards the dark side, basically. Can you see? What are these rebels seem very reckless. What are they going to do? Okay, you've wiped out the Empire. What happens to trade?
All the jobs.
What happens to jobs?
All that infrastructure.
Everyone's like, oh, I was fine. I had a cushy job for the Empire before you came along. And now, like, the whole of the Empire has collapsed.
The whole economy.
All the trade routes are fucked.
Yeah.
Piracy is rife.
Right.
There's no law and order.
So the rebels are like Brexiteers, basically.
Well, they're whatever you want them to be, aren't they? That's the thing.
It's like space Brexit.
Everyone thinks they're the goodies.
Brexit in space. Because they, you know, they're like, we've got to break away from this sort of
undemocratic... Or you could say that they're like more like left-wing protesters.
Mm,
The socialists or something, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
But everyone thinks that their side is... the goodies. That's
right.
The thing. You can lay onto it whatever philosophy you want to because it's vague enough.
Right. So
some people would think the rebels are like gun-toting, you know...
cowboys.
Yeah. Or like, out of my cold, dead hands.
Like sort of gun control. Like
Anyone can see themselves as the underdog.
NRA people, National Rifle Association.
But anyway, we're getting away from ourselves. I think it's originally inspired by World War II films. And
okay.
The Allied Nations in World War II. From what I can tell, that's like what they took their inspiration from for the Star Wars films was those kind of classic war movies.
And are you going to the dark side?
I just think we should discuss it more. I want to know the facts.
You're open to the dark side, basically. Okay. All right. Well, you know, apparently.
I want to know exactly what they stand for, exactly what they don't stand for, exactly what the rebels are going to put in place.
There is a credo. They have like a sort of a set of proposals.
What is it?
It's on the internet.
Yeah, but I don't. So everything's on the internet. It doesn't make it worth reading. I want to know for real. In the films, in the world of the films, they never say, though, do they?
The Emperor is on Twitter. He's like Donald Trump. That's how he communicates. Have you ever not wondered about that? He doesn't do big speeches. He just tweets out like, you know, this Death Star is fully operational. Hashtag, you know, whatever, you know.
Hashtag fully operational.
Hashtag, you know, like this dossier about the Death Star not being fully operational.
It's fake news.
So shocking. That's basically
the
Emperor tweeting. There is criticism of the film. Do you know what some of the people are saying about it? Criticism?
That it's a silly space opera that costs far too much money to make.
Well, there's that, of course. Yeah, I mean,
it's completely worthless apart from as vapid entertainment.
And
people read way too much into it.
Yes, and that people record podcasts about it and stuff.
There's much better films out there we could be talking
about. Really? Like what? What's a better film you've seen lately?
Lately?
Yeah. I mean, what's a film that struck you more than this one?
There's a film called Arg.
What's Arg?
It's 8 A's and a GH exclamation.
Arg.
I'll put the trailer on.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very, very low-budget British film, filmed around here, which is kind of like a super low-budget Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
But normal society, people walking around as normal, but it's like ape world. So people communicate in grunts and the...
Everyone's apes.
So, but they're normal. They go around. Everything looks the same, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
But it's ape world. So the family structures are different. It's all like ape structures. And the men spend most of the time posturing and showing off to the females. And the pecking order changes constantly.
Right.
And they can be ostracized from the group. Or there's like wild monkeys that aren't part of the group.
So it's like Liverpool, basically.
Yeah. Well, the more you watch it, the more you realize there's very little difference between ape world and human world.
Uh-huh.
But they're the same, you know, in this film. It's very funny, and it's super low budget, so I don't expect anything flashy. There's no special effects or anything. It's just people talking or grunting, going... And it just made me laugh. And
that's
very silly, very stupid, but has some serious moments, semi-serious.
Ah,
not serious, but as in makes you laugh because it's like real life.
Okay. That's the film that's impressed you... as much as this Star Wars film?
No, it's not as impressive as Star Wars, but you could probably make a million Star Warses for the cost of this.
No, you can make a million ARGs for the cost of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, it's still an impressive film, though, isn't it?
I was blown away. In the cinema, I actually found my jaw dropping open slightly.
Yeah.
Like, I realised I was sort of catching flies going, oh my God.
Oh my God, what?
Because you can't believe what you're seeing.
For me, the first 40 minutes were a bit rubbish. I wasn't completely sold.
There's a few too many characters in it, I think.
Well, there's a bit where they're just like going from planet to planet. It's just like, can you just pick a planet, please?
But you get to see all the cool environments and stuff.
Yeah. And then it's really when, I don't know, the sort of mission begins that it really suddenly digs in and it becomes really... gripping and fun.
I really liked the baddies in this new one.
What about the baddies?
They were just got their own little politics going on and like backstabbing and kind of like the greasy corporate pole.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, you know, trying to...
career-minded bad guys.
Yeah. It's like Mad Men in space.
Right.
Even though I haven't seen Mad Men, but I get the idea. It's kind of like that.
This corporate... sort of stab you in the back kind of mentality.
Yeah, which is always, there's always been an undercurrent of that in Star Wars, but it's just funny. I like all that stuff.
It's just like politics. It's like House of Cards kind of thing. Everyone's like stabbing each other in the back all the time. One of the criticisms that I've read is that it's just a production line product full of Star Wars references without having proper character development or story. It's just a money-making Star Wars flavored generic action movie.
Who said that?
I don't know, just press.
Well, you should reference your quotes. Man. You're going to be an effective journalist.
No, I've
fake news.
I've read around a lot and thought about it, and these are all the things that I've noticed.
Okay, so it's
noticed.
Not a direct quote.
No, it's a digest, isn't it? This is like it's so not a direct quote. No, I created that quote.
That's fine. Just wanted to check.
What do you think? That's just a production line for money making.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But most films are money making vehicle. All films are, to be honest. So that's not really a criticism in itself.
For me,
it's a what was that? A production line,
sort of money making production line full of Star Wars references.
Yeah, true. But if they do it well, I think the punters are going to be happy to pay for it.
I think that's the thing, because I wrote. Yeah, that may be true, but all the same, they did a damn good job on it.
Yeah. I mean, you can make a bad film that makes money, or you can make a good film that makes money, and they made a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, Ninja Turtles probably made quite a lot of money.
And not as much as this.
No, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting at.
I do. Next thing, characters. People have said that Felicity Jones and Diego Luna are a bit boring. It's hardly the dashing scoundrel of Han Solo, or the sassy Princess Leia, or even the whiny and naive Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, possibly true, but they're more kind of blue collar in this, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They're not kind of born to the manor born.
Yeah.
They're more like
grunts.
Sort of low level, the low level unsung heroes of the rebellion.
Yeah.
So it's kind of good like that.
Yeah, they're just basic characters, which is quite good.
And you don't have time for that much characterization, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fine.
What did you think?
I don't watch it for that.
Yeah. And anyway, sort of slightly dodgy acting performances are sort of a staple of Star Wars, aren't they? Because there's the Forrest Whitaker character who kind of speaks in this kind of voice, you know. And that's like, oh, come on. When he came on, I was like, and you must go save the rebellion. I was kind of thinking, oh, really? And then I realised, Oh, there's loads of characters like that in Star Wars who speak with funny voices.
There's normally some really dorky English guys in the control room going, initiate level one, sir, or whatever, yeah, in a really hammy English accent.
There were a lot of dials and levers, yeah, and electronic and controls.
Going,
yeah, a hell of a lot of 70s-style technology,
yeah,
laser control units and things like that.
Yeah,
loads
kept
of these
that
things.
70s look.
It's really good. I like the aesthetic of these difficult dials that you have to turn, and handles that come down, and all these control panels. Yeah. It's kind of really sort of seems to be really inefficient. Like, to control the laser, you've got to walk out to this the end of this platform.
Well, yeah, they don't want it to be easily turned off and on, do they? Yeah. It's like they have to make it difficult.
It's right out on the end of this ledge.
It's like an Alien when she sets the self-destruct sequence.
Yeah,
that's really difficult to do because they don't want any old grunt just doing it. You have to be absolutely sure that you're
right,
doing it.
Right, right.
And you probably need several access codes and all this kind of stuff.
What did you think of that robot, K2SO?
Bit sarcastic initially.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of, you know, by the end I was quite into him.
Yeah, I thought that the moment...
It's quite a nice idea reprogramming some... Imperial... This is Luke's English podcast.
Yeah, welcome to Luke's English podcast.
Where we don't know how to speak English.
Well, maybe you don't. But yeah, they reprogrammed an Imperial droid and he comes out a bit sarcastic. Or he's got... To be honest, I found him a bit generic at the beginning because that's a character that I keep seeing in other situations, in other shows. This kind of character who's got no filter and doesn't understand irony and just says whatever they think and they're super intelligent. Like Sherlock is like that. He's kind of got this...
He's not sarcastic, though.
Sherlock is, like, really painfully honest and says whatever's on his mind. And often he's got no social skills and he upsets everyone he talks to. You know, he just tells them exactly what he thinks of them.
Autistic.
Yes, like that sort of thing. And this robot's a bit like that. And there's also... There are others.
No, it's sarcastic, though, that robot. It's beyond that. It's actually got a sarcasm chip.
I don't know if it's sarcasm. It's just telling you straight, you know. And this Benedict Cumberbatch's performance in The Imitation Game. Have you seen that one?
No.
The Alan Turing.
No.
He's kind of a bit special and he doesn't understand irony.
I'm not a huge fan of
Cumberbatch.
Not really.
No.
But...
Anyway, I just found that kind of character who just sort of says whatever they think is a bit generic.
Okay.
But in the end, I was actually quite moved, weirdly, by that one. What else? It's a bit confusing, I found. There was a period in about half an hour in when I was like, hold on a minute, wait a minute, what's going on? But I always have that in films in the cinema. I'm always too distracted by the visuals and stuff, and I just sort of drift off for about a minute, and then I realise I've missed some crucial plot point. Did you find it confusing at all?
No.
When we were in the cinema watching this film, there was this guy with his kids in the cinema, right? Right next to you.
Just one kid walking up and down the aisle.
Yeah.
Making loads of noise.
Like, he brought his kids to the film and they were way too young. And the one kid was just walking around making loads of noise. It was really irritating. What about some of the references?
There are lots of little geeky stuff that they've put in there that they know the fans are going to just be stoked about and really wanking on about on the internet.
Things like blue milk in the kitchen.
Yeah. The blue milk, that was a nice touch.
You see some
moisture farming, whatever the hell they do.
Yeah, evaporators. Moisture evaporators.
Essential, I'd say. In the desert, maybe. But why are they doing it on a waterlogged planet?
God knows. No idea. And they're drinking blue milk in the kitchen, and there's other things like that. And some characters that we've seen.
I like the blue squadron.
Uh-huh.
Towards the end, the big battle at the end, all the X-Wings and stuff. And we've always had Red Squadron, but there's Blue Squadron now.
Yeah.
I just think they look cool, Blue X-Wings.
And did you notice that in Red Squadron, Red 5 gets killed?
Yeah.
And so that's the one that Luke Skywalker becomes in the next battle.
Oh, God, that's
He takes
geeky.
The Red 5 position.
Oh, dear. The fat guy dies early as well.
Hawkins.
I know.
There's some fat guy who gets blown up.
It's a bit
up.
Mean, because that's what happens in the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
So it's like they did it again.
Yeah.
Oh, nice one. Very funny.
And also, two of the pilots from Star Wars Episode 4 are in there. They've somehow taken footage from the original Star Wars and put it into this and redone it. So you see the same actors from old footage. And obviously, there's, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin, a CGI version of Grand Moff Tarkin. What did you think? Were you convinced by that, or did it take you out of the film?
I just sort of stared at it going, wow, it's amazing, but it still doesn't look like a human.
Yeah.
He still looks like a fake person on a digital screen.
It still looked like a cartoon or something. It
makes me wish they hadn't bothered.
Really?
Hadn't bothered.
What should they have done, though?
Well, it would have been nice if they had a few outtakes of him that they could have chucked in or something.
Right.
Or just cast a different actor, like they used to do in the olden days, and just let your imagination carry the distance.
Yeah.
If they said this is the young Grand Moff Tarkin or whatever.
But it's supposed to happen right before
the year before, or the month, like, the week,
the day before.
Well, like, they should have written him out. No, I don't know. I don't really know.
I quite like the way they got the character.
It didn't really bother me, but it doesn't. You can immediately tell it's not a real person.
I like the way that they got the character into the story and built it in so that in episode 4, his character's got a lot more background. The way that he's basically sort of rising to power and stabbing people in the back as he goes. I found that to be interesting, and I didn't mind the CGI. I found that to be sort of quite impressive, but it didn't matter, because it sort of was for the benefit of the story, because it builds his character into place in episode 4, which, and I think they did it well. It was obvious what his arc was. And it makes sense. So, you know, they could have replaced him with Darth Vader, but that would have meant that it was weird in episode 4 that he suddenly got a boss who comes from nowhere.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't really given it much thought.
There was, obviously, Princess Leia appeared.
Was that CGI Leia, or was that...
No, CGI.
Outsert.
CGI Leia.
What did I say?
An outsert, like a clip from the old footage.
So it was a CGI.
It was a CGI Princess Leia.
That's weird, right. Because the night we watched that, or the evening we watched that, she died.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher died on the day that we watched
it. Watching it. She's probably dying as we were watching it.
Oh, come on.
Well, roughly.
It's possible, yeah.
Roughly.
That's really strange, don't you think?
Yeah.
Really freaky that we're there watching a CGI version of her.
As a young woman.
And the same day she goes... Yeah, it's really weird.
It's not that weird, but it's a bit creepy.
Yeah, and it's sad. It's very sad.
She got, you know, messed up by Hollywood.
Yeah, she did, and she came from a sort of family, a Hollywood family, and her mum was a movie star and all that stuff. But yeah, Star Wars must have been a pretty wild ride. And, you know, apparently she was sort of off her head for the filming of some of the movies.
I think they all were.
Yeah, there was a lot of craziness going on. Anyway, but she seems to have been a good thing, Carrie Fisher. As far as I can tell, she seems great.
I don't know if she was particularly happy, but
no.
She's very funny. She wrote some funny books, apparently.
Yeah.
She's good on Graham Norton.
Yeah, always funny on chat shows and things, and just seemed to be kind of all right.
Buried in a giant Vicodin tablet.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
How? What?
So she was cremated.
Or was it? No, Prozac.
Prozac. Yeah. So she was cremated, and you know, when someone is cremated, their ashes are put inside a container called
an urn.
And I guess her family thought it would be funny, because apparently Carrie Fisher used to have this big plastic Prozac tablet, which was like a sort of little container, like a box, but it looked like a big Prozac
a shop
pill.
Display one or something.
Yeah, and she used to have that, and she thought it was funny, and so they thought it would be appropriate to put her ashes into this Prozac pill. So, you know, a wicked sense of humour, really.
Yeah, pretty messed
up. Going back to the Star Wars film again, there are lots of other references. It's all very geeky. It's probably not necessary to go through all the different references, right? But there are lots of them, including references to the previous films, the prequels, and references to stuff that we know is going to happen in episode 4. And, you know, these different characters, the girl, Jyn Erso, she's a bit sort of
dork.
Like an upper-class English girl, isn't she?
Oh, God, I saw her on TV going, yes, I'm from a place called Birmingham.
Yes.
And she was going, over there, that you call your mate your mucker. And I was like, well, not really.
I've heard people say mucker.
It's
Aaron says Mucker.
Yeah, but it's not the main Brummy thing.
All right, Mucker.
Wouldn't be the first thing you'd say as far as Brummy slang. And it doesn't. She doesn't sound like a Brummy, but I assume she is.
Sounds like she's... I mean, she might be from Birmingham, but she sounds like she's been to acting school and all that stuff.
Which is fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
Best place to go if you want to learn to act. Probably.
I thought she was good. I mean, it's another one of those sort of characters that's a young girl, like a sort of a young girl fighting... you know, we've seen a few of those, like in the Hunger Games films and the previous Star Wars film.
Yeah.
Orson Krennic, the bad guy in white, the guy who wants, you know, he's ambitious and...
Yeah, he was pretty good value for money.
Yeah, evil idiot, like wanker. Darth Vader turned up at the end. That was pretty amazing, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, when Vader arrives, and we're spoiling all over this shop here... but I'm sure I'm going to do an announcement beforehand. When he arrives, it's just like, whoa,
yeah,
right?
It's moody. It's the first time he's seemed really genuinely scary,
yeah.
I think, in all the films. Because he always seemed not that scary to me.
Yeah.
A bit in Jedi, I suppose. He's quite scary in that. But yeah, he's genuinely scary in this bit.
Yeah, and he kind of, basically, there's this airlock corridor and there's about 10 guys in there, and he just proceeds to just basically go through them all, and they're all trying to escape, and there's that scene where he kind of stabs one with a lightsaber, and it goes through the door, and then the door opens, you know?
Yeah, I'd like to see that
quite
scene
well done
in the cinema.
Yeah, it was very very well directed and put together. Galen Erso, in fact, was the father who sort of designs the Death Star. It's quite good. Do you think it's good the way they sort of added that bit of story, explaining why there's a weakness in the Death Star?
Yeah, that bit was good, because you always thought it was a bit of a joke that the Death Star could be destroyed so easily, seemingly so easily.
Yeah.
And they kind of did explain that it was put in there as a, like, back door.
Yeah.
So they kind of dug themselves out of a potential problem there.
Yeah. I wrote this down before. Galen Erso was a genius. He designed this weapon with a fatal flaw, and he hid the weakness deep within the design. It allowed the rebels to destroy it. Even when they rebuilt it, it could be destroyed again. Even Starkiller Base got destroyed, perhaps because it was based on the same design. But the weapon was so effective that the Empire relied on it too much, and it made them weak. And ultimately, that's what led to the end of the Empire. They put all their eggs in one basket.
Thing is, though, I can't help sort of analysing all this stuff.
As if it's real.
As if it's real. Yeah. It isn't.
It's just been made up.
There's no point thinking about it in too much detail.
Yeah, no, there really isn't. But anyway, I found it to be an enjoyable story set in the Star Wars universe, full of like Star Wars references that I personally enjoyed. So it was like, oh, look, there's those guys from the Cantina Bar, you know, Bumface and the other dude.
Yeah, they're cool.
And, you know, these things, I enjoyed that, but I also found it to be quite pacey. I like some of the amazing effects of, like, the planet being hit by the Death Star laser and, you know, the whole planet going up and all that stuff. And some of the scenes in space above the port into the planet, you know, and you're sort of flying these big spaceships over the hole and you look down onto the surface of the planet and stuff. Just the sort of heart-pounding action that you get in the second half of the film when they're doing the assault on this sort of space station thing, and there are like AT-AT walkers coming out of the sea, and you know, all
where did they come from, those AT-AT?
They just come out of the sea sort of thing, don't they? They just come trotting in from somewhere. I don't know, but they just arrive out of the mist. You know. And all this,
Warwick Davis was in it.
Warwick Davis is like this little creature with a gun.
And when we got outside, I was like, Warwick Davis.
Yeah. He's always in it. He's like a, he's in Life's Too Short with Ricky Gervais. And he's also in
Labyrinth,
Return of the Jedi, and so on. As he's Wicket, the Ewok.
Yeah.
All right then. So you agree?
Yeah, I wasn't really looking forward to this one particularly.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to go and see it. I probably wouldn't have gone to see it if Luke wasn't going and my dad. But actually, once I was in there, I really enjoyed it. So for what it is, it's a great, great addition to the Star Wars set.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
And it's certainly a lot better than most action films that I see. Even if you forget all the Star Wars stuff and forget that you, you know, really into it, whatever, if it's just as a space film,
mm-hmm.
it's one of the best I've ever seen. And it's one of the best action films I've ever seen.
Yeah.
As far as special effects and stuff going on that's exciting, it's pretty brilliant.
Did you feel emotionally involved in it?
Not hugely.
I got a little bit.
Oh, towards the end, the last bit, when you realise they're all going to die.
When they all start dying.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh.
Yeah, like it's quite nasty.
I actually was a little bit moved by those moments.
Mm.
You know, when they start dying. It's like, oh, shit. Like the robot, when that one goes, it's like, oh, actually, I was sort of getting to like him.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the others, it's like tragic circumstances in which they go. And I found quite moving. Yeah, all right. What about the next Star Wars film? Because we're getting another one in Christmas.
I've had enough now.
Really?
They can stop now. That's fine. They've done it.
They're never going to stop, though. You said earlier.
They're never, ever going to stop.
Ever. Never, ever, 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 never, ever. Really? You think we're going to get fatigue? Star Wars fatigue?
I've already got it.
After 40 minutes of this conversation.
Yeah.
If the world doesn't have Star Wars fatigue, it will do after this. Yeah.
So what's the next one going to be about then?
The next one. So what we have... So obviously... Rogue One obviously finishes, and then it's episode 4, 5, and 6, and then 7. And the next one is episode 8.
Oh my God.
And that's what... Do you remember what happened at the end of episode 7?
Not a clue.
Only a year ago. You don't remember. So they blow up...
There was some spaceships and yeah, something blew up.
They blow up Starkiller Base, which is like the Death Star, but bigger. And Kylo Ren, who's this sort of Han Solo's, Princess Leia's son, who's kind of slipped to the dark side and become this guy called Kylo Ren.
Oh, him, the emo kind of guy.
Yeah, and he's been like doing naughty things, and he's working for this dude called Snoke. We don't know who he is.
He dies at the end of it, doesn't
he?
No,
he gets kind of... He sort of gets defeated by the girl, Rey, and it's a bit sort of like, hold on, she learns the Force pretty damn quickly with no training, and manages to beat him in a lightsaber fight. And then they both get rescued from the planet. But, you know, that's a bit suspect, you know, that she sort of learns it all so quickly. Anyway, he goes back and manages to escape, but he's like being cut by a lightsaber. She goes back and she searches for Luke Skywalker, and it ends with her going up to the top of that green island in Ireland, you know, the Skelligs.
Yeah.
And she goes up there, and there's Luke Skywalker standing on the top, and he turns around, he looks all moody. And so we expect that what's going to happen in this one is that she'll be trained by Luke Skywalker. We need to first of all find out what Luke Skywalker's like. Is he mad, or is he more powerful with the Force? What's he been doing? What's happened to him? What's he learned? And what does he know? And then what can he do? And maybe he's going to train her. We'll have an Empire Strikes Back type training situation.
He's going to be like the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, really? He's going to say, what is he going to say?
I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
Yeah. And he's going to be like, dude. Yeah. Anyway. Maybe there'll be a training sequence where Rey's jumping around on the island. She's got Luke Skywalker in a backpack, you know, like in Empire Strikes Back with Yoda in a backpack. You know? And I suppose Kylo Ren's going to, I don't know what, he's going to try and take over the universe or something?
Again?
I don't know.
Oh.
It's hard to know what's going to happen.
So tiring. Just chill out.
Can everyone just sit down for a bit? Yeah. It's a bit like that. What do you think about an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie starring an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie?
Played by who?
Ewan McGregor, because he's still, you know.
I like Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. Ewan McGregor to star in an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie.
Set in Glasgow. No, Edinburgh. Set in Edinburgh. He's a fucking junkie.
Yeah, he's become a junkie in Edinburgh.
Here, mate, here you, these are the drugs you're looking for.
But it could be Ewan McGregor on the desert. Choose life.
Choose life. Choose being a Jedi. Choose pissing the rest of your life away on Mos fucking Eisley.
That's coming out. Trainspotting 2 is coming out.
Oh, that'll be good. It looks horrible because they've really moved on and it's like up to date now,
yeah.
Which is just as horrible as it used to be.
Talking about Trainspotting, that film by Danny Boyle with Ewan McGregor in it.
That'll be really interesting.
Trainspotting 2.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That'll be grim and horrible.
It will be. Good. It'll be really horrible.
And Trainspotting was a deeply misleading film as far as
heroin. It's fucking brilliant.
It's really glamorous.
Everything goes really fast, and there's a brilliant kind of punk rock soundtrack to everything.
If you like this film, try new heroin made in Scotland.
it was a bit sort of glamorous, wasn't it?
Yeah,
glamorizing. Anyway, who knows?
A good film though, good soundtrack.
Yeah. So how did we end up talking about?
Because we're talking about Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor,
even though he doesn't speak like that, he's more like Ewan McGregor.
He's got like a posh Scottish voice, hasn't he?
I can't do Scottish accents.
But it could be good though. Obi-Wan Kenobi fighting against the Sand People on Tatooine.
On smack.
Here, mate, have you got any? You got any Rizzler? You know,
take the best Jedi experience you've ever had, multiply it by 1,000, and you're not even close.
You see that feeling? You know when you feel the Force? That ain't nothing, son. Okay, interesting. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Cross. What do they call it?
I don't know.
Like when two worlds meet, they have like Batman versus someone.
Yeah.
They call it cross something.
Inter-franchise kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Trainspotting meets Star Wars.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor in it.
Spin-off
kind of
like
thing.
Like Lego Star Wars, right. Trainspotting.
Could we have any other spin-offs, do you think? Like...
You've got to think of what other... You could meet Han Solo is Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's good. Han Solo is, Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones in
Star Wars.
That would be great.
Oh, what's the one?
How would you do that?
What's the one where he's a Mormon or something?
Oh, Witness.
The Witness.
He's a cop and he's seen some corruption. He has to go and hide.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
He has to hide with some Mormon people. Amish people.
Amish.
And the bad guys come to get him and stuff. So
and he has to shoot his way out with a blaster.
Han Solo in that film. Yeah. It's like a sort of drama, a psychological thriller, but with blasters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There's probably...
Forrest Whitaker's character, Ghost Dog 2. But he's a Jedi.
Right, because Forrest Whitaker was in that...
He basically plays the same character in both films anyway.
He was in that Jim Jarmusch film called Ghost Dog. And he was like an assassin kind of guy.
Yeah, he was like a basic, humble assassin.
Who lived by the samurai code kind of thing.
In New York.
Right.
Or something.
It's a pretty cool film.
It's cool to look at, but it doesn't really do anything.
No, it's very sleepy. Like most of Jim Jarmusch's films are quite sleepy.
Actually, I watched the new Stooges documentary. Jim Jarmusch made a documentary about Iggy and the Stooges.
Iggy Pop.
Yeah, and I downloaded it from iTunes for $5.99.
Yeah.
And then I could only watch it like for 48 hours.
Rental.
And then it expired. Yeah, like, how expensive is that? £6.
Yeah.
For one viewing. But I really wanted to see it, but it wasn't that great. Maybe it was the £6 that was hurting. Really? But the best thing to do if you want to learn about the Stooges, just listen to Raw Power. Very loud, the last album.
I reckon
any of their albums.
I reckon Obi-Wan Kenobi would be a fan of the Stooges.
Oh yeah, you're a fan of the Stooges, are you, mate?
Well, that's another link back to Trainspotting.
That's right, Trainspotting and Obi-Wan Kenobi again. So who knows what kind of stuff we're going to see in the future? Some kind of Indiana Jones, Han Solo crossover.
But the Stooges doc is all right. It's worth seeing. It's definitely worth seeing. Okay. It's called Gimme Danger.
Gimme Danger, the Iggy Pop and the Stooges.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. All right then. Fine. Do you think we've finished?
Yeah, should we do some English language or something?
What's
a good phrase? Some cinema phrases.
Cinema phrases? I mean, what kind of thing? Like,
Hello, can I have two tickets to see Star Wars? What's the new
one called? All right, come on, let's do that. You're a customer, and I'm
no. I'll be the guy behind the counter.
Okay, so I'm going to go to the cinema.
Just ignoring you at the moment. Talking to my co-host.
Yeah, let's just make.
Yeah, anyway, so yeah, like so-and-so mate was saying.
See the the customer service person's not really listening to me. It's
anyway, I've just got. Hang on a minute.
This is going to be awkward. I'm going to have to try and get his attention. Excuse me.
Hello. Do you want something?
Can I have two tickets to see Star Wars Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, please?
Two tickets for Rogue One.
Rogue One, not Road One. I don't want to see Road One. Rogue One, please.
Any preference where you sit?
Just in the cinema would be good somewhere.
So I've got two in F7 and F6. Is that all right for you?
Yeah, that's fine. Thanks.
I assume you want two tickets. You're
I
not
do.
Sadder.
Yeah, I do
okay.
want two tickets.
Yeah. that'll be $24.98, please.
$24.98?
Yes.
Oh my God, that seems like a lot.
London prices, sir.
Is that in 3D?
Yes.
It is. Oh, is it? Do you have a 2D version?
No.
Oh, wonderful. All right, I'll have the 3D version. Fine. Do I need to buy the glasses?
Unless you brought your own, sir, yeah.
Okay.
That's another £10, please.
Another £10. So that's, what, 30, what? £37 or something?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. Do you want a drink, sir, or a hot dog?
No, thanks. Certainly not. All right, there you go. There's the money.
Just bear with a minute. System's running a bit slow today. Just bear with me.
God. It's not what it used to be, is it, eh? Going to the cinema. They charge you bloody €39 or pounds.
There you go, sir. Do you want your receipt?
Yes, please.
Hang on a sec. Just got to let it print out. There you go, sir. Enjoy the film.
Thanks very much. All right, so then you walk through the cinema and you contemplate. You probably go to the toilet first and you join all the other guys who go into the cinema, go into the loo. The building is hotter than it sort of should be. It feels a bit
so
airless.
You're immediately
hot.
Thinking you could do with a can of Coke or a drink.
Yeah, so you buy a bottle of water, you run back. You're feeling a bit stressed as well because the film's going to start. You're kind of stressed. You're running back to get some water. You get it. You think, oh, God, do I still need a piss? And then you go in anyway and you find your seat and it's all a bit weird and you realise you've got your coat on, you're too hot.
25 minutes of adverts and trailers.
Yeah, what? God, the adverts and trailers.
Oh, the adverts are horrible.
They are terrible, aren't they? Especially the adverts. Like these kind of patronising visions of sort of normal life presented to you like some reality show and they're just trying to sell you insurance or something. And it's just car advert after car advert after car advert. How many different car adverts did we see before the film?
Let's wrap it up. We're going on a tangent.
We are.
Here.
Okay. Well, I thought I'd just run through.
We could do another one on advertising another time.
Yeah.
Let's do that another time.
That would be good, wouldn't it? Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's it then. Thanks very much, ladies and gents, for listening to this conversation. James, yeah. Anything else? Actually, can I just sort of go through something with you? Because
I just want to recommend the film Arg.
Yeah.
What else have I seen recently that's good?
That's it, man.
I saw French Connection 2, not that that's new, but I bet no one's seen the French Connection 2.
French Connection is a film by William Friedkin starring Gene Hackman.
And Roy Schneider.
Gene Hackman, as far as I know, has never made a bad film. If Gene Hackman is in it, it's a good film.
Pretty much true.
Except Superman 4.
I like Superman 4.
Do you really?
Because of Gene Hackman.
Right. The scenes with Gene Hackman in are good.
He's believable.
He is. He's always great. I don't know what's
but French Connection's a very famous film, which you should definitely see if you haven't seen
great
it.
Great car chase.
French Connection 2 is, I didn't even know existed until yesterday, and I found it online. Not going to say where, but it's quite easy to find. And
French Connection 2 online view.
Yeah. And it's really, really good, but you definitely need to see the first one first, okay. Obviously.
All right. I just wanted to run through a couple.
Oh, and Down Terrace is a good film.
Down Terrace.
Yeah, that's another film sort of made on a zero budget.
Yeah. Last time you and I spoke exclusively on the podcast was in August.
Exclusively?
Exclusively, I mean, without other people there.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the correct word.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm surprised you know how to use it.
Yeah, so it was just us. And it was in August, and we were in a pub garden, and we were talking about serious stuff. And you expressed the sense that you kind of didn't want to talk about that kind of thing. I just wanted to, and also, well, don't make that noise.
Don't read out any comments.
No,
it's
I'm just reading out four comments. Oh, so one of them is from a guy called Piotr, or is it Hiroshi? I don't know. But anyway, this person said, if it wasn't for your brother, I wouldn't have learnt the word ape shit. That's the advantage of this podcast. So, you know, you're teaching people valuable
okay, I'll take that one. That's a good word.
Ape shit. It's go ape shit, isn't it?
It's basically just to go mental.
Like, just really?
Go crazy and maybe wreck the place or just generally go too far in something.
Get really angry as well, perhaps.
Yeah, probably.
Like the way a monkey would just suddenly go crazy. It's just to go ape shit.
It's kind of like, I pissed off to work early. And I left half a painted floor and the manager stepped on it. He went absolutely apeshit.
Yeah. It's like I left work at lunchtime.
I left a half a can of paint on the floor.
Yeah, my boss is going to go apeshit. Okay, to go apeshit. Here's another one from Nick, and it said, maybe James always says that he isn't an expert because his voice really sounds like an expert's voice from the BBC or something. This low, serious, clear voice. Maybe James Bond should sound like that. And the most cool thing is that when your brother says some joke after a period of serious talking, it makes an extremely amusing effect.
Aww.
So I think all Lepsters want to hear your brother on the podcast. Here's another one. Elisa, from Finland, says, I think James is quite a fascinating person. He's more an artist than a talk show man or a podcaster. Oh, you and your father seem to be a bit different. You actually want to, meaning Dad and me are similar to and different to you.
Right.
You actually want to know and explain stuff from A to Z, but James is not so keen to jump into those conversations. He is sensitive, serious, and humorous guy, but at the same time reserved, and that's totally fine. Is he sounding arrogant? No, not at all. Do I still want to listen to him? Absolutely. And no matter what the topic is, from cows to stars or whatever.
Cows?
I've never talked about cows, but we could talk about cows and stars.
Good name for a new podcast, from cows to stars.
I think that could be my new album title, Cows and Stars.
From cows to stars.
From cows to stars. Yeah, it could be a witty book for learning
English.
From the
cradle to the grave.
From cows to stars. Do you want to talk about cows? How do you feel about cows?
I don't really think I'm qualified to talk about cows, Luke. I don't want to sound like a dick sort of starting going on about cows when I'm really not an expert.
But we're not looking for an expert opinion on cows.
I think cows are nice, okay?
We just want to know...
I like eating them.
We just want to know what a normal person just has to say about cows. Just be normal. You know, it's not being... You're not going to be arrogant talking about cows.
Yeah, cows are great. Next.
Eri Taguchi, who is a regular commenter from Japan, says, Hi Luke and James, thank you for another episode in which you guys were having an authentic natural chat. What I feel about it is this. James, what do you worry about?
Oh God.
I've never thought you were arrogant or idiot.
It's just because it's a contentious subject that I was talking about and I didn't really feel qualified to pontificate on it, that's all.
Yeah. I have.
Okay, let's move on.
I often think you're arrogant or idiot.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, well.
Basically, the point is that they like you. Some of them really like you. For example, this one. Anyway, I like James very much, not only his voice.
Ooh. What?
Apparently, someone likes you very much and not just your
they
voice.
They don't know anything beyond my voice.
They like the voice and more. Than the voice as well. A bit creepy. Is that creepy? I like you very much and not only your voice.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway.
I think we could have done without this end bit.
Really? Well, I needed to do it. I'm sorry. I just needed to kind of...
How long has this been? An hour?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, sorry.
You know what? Recently, I did an episode where I talked about wanting to do shorter episodes and...
You did a 20-minute intro about how you're going to cut down your intro time.
No, but I asked them I asked my listeners what they thought.
Yeah, but let me guess, you gave them a multiple choice.
No, I didn't.
Do you want medium, large, or extra large? And most people went for large.
No, I didn't do that. I didn't.
Even though they're all the same product.
I just talked about it. I just talked about how
it might be good
to do shorter episodes. All right. What? Why are you doing that? Why are you sighing like that?
I'm not doing
anything. And anyway... Independently of what I said, people wrote back saying they like episodes that are like over an hour long. So, you know, what am I going to do, huh? What are you going to do? Okay. All right.
I might go to the shop and get a few beers.
Okay, good idea. Go to the shop and get a few beers.
Okay, we can stop talking now.
Thanks.
Just sit in silence again.
Because when I'm not on this podcast, I'm just sitting in silence.
Or texting.
Yeah, texting in silence. Do you want to play James Bond on the Nintendo?
Which one is it again? It's Nintendo 64.
No, it's a Nintendo GameCube.
Nintendo GameCube.
It's James Bond GoldenEye.
It's not GoldenEye.
Isn't
it's
it?
A different one.
It's called Agent Under Fire.
Yeah, that's it. It's not even an official film. It's just a random spin-off.
Yeah, but it's pretty good.
It's great. It's just a first-person shooter.
First-person shooter, a bit like GoldenEye. It's kind of modelled on GoldenEye, but not as good as that. And we just spent about an hour yesterday chasing each other around a building, blowing each other up, didn't we? You killed me a lot more than I killed you in that one.
Yeah, because I've been playing it for years.
Yeah, I mean, you were...
I'm bored of it now. I've played it so much.
Really? You're just casually killing me, just bored?
Yeah, kind of like, it's dull.
Oh, there we go. Killed him again. How boring. See the way he fell down? So predictable.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to the shop.
Okay, go to the shop.
Do you want anything? Anyone want anything?
Does anyone want anything from the shop, ladies and gents? What do you want? Biscuits?
All right, let's leave it. I'll see you later. Yeah. Okay. Nice to speak to you. Bye, Luke.
Bye. So he's now going to the shop to get some beer. And I think that's pretty much it for this episode. Thanks very much for listening. And we've been rambling on all over the shop in this one. But I understand from your correspondence that that's the kind of thing that you like to listen to. Anyway, I'm sure that I'm going to sort of edit a few little bits and pieces out here and there just to clean it up. I'm not talking about editing out swearing. I don't generally edit that stuff out, but just generally neaten things up a little bit. All right, thanks very much for listening. I look forward to reading your comments on the website about Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and that you kind of managed to keep up with our rambling review, which drifted around all over the place, even into talking about other films and completely different things. But anyway, it's one of those episodes. So leave your comments on the website. I look forward to reading your comments. Okay, then, that's the end of this episode, and I'll speak to you again soon. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.